the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Why did he use that word?
God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself.
The greatest gift you will ever give this world is your intimacy with God.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three inside of me. I've got the power right now.
I think what Jesus really wants is people to go. I want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer request.
Welcome to the Fuel for the Harvest podcast.
When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. This is Nathan.
And this is Charlie, and we're really excited. Today we have a Forge ambassador joining us, and you can refer to him as Warfa. He is a Somali believer. Warfa, thanks so much for joining us today, man.
Hey, thank you for inviting me to this podcast. I appreciate being here. If I introduce myself, you allow me to go on. My name is Warfa. I'm a 30-year-old Somali believer from Somalia, East Africa. As you've heard, Somalia is a country that is in news every now and then for very bad reasons. Sometimes it's war, sometimes civil war, sometimes terrorism, sometimes of different kind of reasons like a virus and all that. I was born in the country during a very difficult time when there was a civil war, and then in the 90s, and then grow up in an environment that is based in Islam. My family and the town I was staying is mostly an Islamist country. So we grew up very hardcore. You know, we were instilled into hate the disbelievers, you know, foreigners in general. And I've memorized the Quran, which was
basic. But you don't hate the foreigners anymore, obviously.
Yes. Yeah, but that is the environment we grew up. Yeah. Generally disliking anything that is northern Islam, and it's still in the religion in Islam. And yes, I don't hate anyone because I consider everyone as my brothers and sisters in Christ. And also generally all the humanities are the same, and Jesus loves them the same, and he wants them to be part of his kingdom. So when I grew up in this environment early in my life, it just brought a lot of questions to myself. I mean, why we have to hate people that is different than us? Why we have to hate different faiths? Why our country is so underdeveloped, and why there is a teaching in Islam that is just difficult, very difficult to accept? Some of the teachings involved in faith, some of the teachings involved in fear of God. You know, we had to fear God. Our relationship in God was different than in Christianity. In Islam, you have to have the relationship with God. If you want God to be happy, you have to follow his rules, and you have to fear him in general. So it made very difficult for me to understand why God needs my work, why he needs me to, you know, to do things for him in order to please him. So this question is still installed in the background of the environment I was in. The country was transitioning from civil war, and we had new kind of enemy. We had terrorism, and then this terrorism was, you know, not discriminating against anyone. He was discriminating against everyone, you know, even in against some Muslim beliefs. You know, you had Sunnis, you have Wahhabism, you had different kind of beliefs within in Islam, within the faith that I was brought in. So this again raised my doubts, my questions. I had more questions, I had more doubts, and then at a certain point when I was in high school, most of my schoolmates were recruited to join a terrorist organization. And then one of our classes, we had the teachers and the government officials in that area that I was staying in brought the dead bodies of my classmates into the school, telling us this is the faith. This is the fate of everyone who tries to join terrorist organizations like Al-Shabaab and so on.
Why did they bring the bodies of your classmates? Like, why had they been killed?
They were killed in attack that, you know, they attacked the area we were staying, and the area we were staying had a local government, and then the same organization wanted to take over the area we were staying in the name of Islam. They wanted to rule Islam, even though the people that were staying there were Muslims themselves. So they wanted them to to rule over the country or the where we were staying under strict rules of Islam. They call it Sharia. So they wanted them to, you know, to cut people's hands, to apply rule of Islam into the area we were staying, even though we were Muslims. So this fight against the government forces and the forces of the terrorism, like Al Shabaab. Everyone heard of Al Shabaab, our group of terrorist groups that are staying in my country.
Yeah, similar so we had to like ISIS or Taliban or something like that.
Yeah. So that kind of group. So they were fighting with them. They were recruited because they were young. They were brainwashed. They had no idea about how to defend themselves from such beliefs. So they were victims. And the government soldiers, they killed them because they had no other choice. They were attacking them. So they wanted to show us this is the fate of everyone who comes attack innocent people.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
Me myself, I was really, this is the turnaround for me. I told myself that I had to get out of there in any cost possible. And this was no longer for me. I just realized that the fate or anything that I was grown up with, anything that I believed at that point, it didn't mean anything, because if it means that innocent young people, like, you know, young youth who had a future, and that will affect me later, who had a future, who had all the rest of their life in front of them, will be in this situation. So for me, I just had to escape from that situation. So I left, and then I went to an Asian country where I came to know Christianity. What was Christianity and what it meant? The religion that I saw it, you know, it was an enemy for me. For me, the idea of Christianity was an enemy. I had to run away from it. I had to run away from Christ. Whenever I hear Christ or Jesus, for me, he was a prophet at the start. So this idea made me close. What made me close to Christianity is that when I came to a country where different religions and different ethnicities lived together, I realized that
because
these
you
normal...
had never seen that in Somalia.
Yeah, I
right?
never seen that. Yeah, I was told that these are the enemy, but I never saw the enemy.
Yeah, Somalia, then... just for everyone listening, it's like 99.9% Muslim. So there are no other religions in Somalia. If they are, they're really hunted down or persecuted, right?
Yeah. And you will see that Christians, especially, you know, even though they are very few, they are. Most of them, they are in underground, they are hiding, or they are in prisons. They are imprisoned because of their faith. So going back to my story, when I came to the Asian country and when I saw other Christians and other people, other faiths generally living together, and I see them like normal people, you know, I had like an African Christians, brothers who were also going to the same school I was going. They were normal people, you know. They were used to call me my African brother. They used to bring me to lunch, and you know, they used to ask me how is Somalia, how are you doing. They used to help me with my school work. They were like normal people. So it just, you know, it brought shock to my life. I said, "This is the enemy," but the enemy is dealing me very kind. They were giving me food and they were giving me drinks. And what's going on? These people are supposed to be my enemy, and this changed my perspective. I no longer saw them as enemy. I saw them as a human people, as a human person. And these are the same people who took me to their church. They asked me to join them into their worship songs and worship gatherings. And I went, just curious. You know, these are kind people, very nice, and I want to see what they have, the life, the peace they have, because they looked loving. They looked very happy. They looked very comfortable in what they believe and what they are doing. So I was worried, you know, I was worried about my future. I was worried about my past. I was looking people at different, you know, I was looking at different faiths, a different image. I was looking, it was kind of all strange for me, but they looked very sure. So I wanted to see what they were doing. And I went with them. And the first few worship gathering that I had with them was an eye opening for me. Jesus was actually a very kind, very loving, and he wanted to love everyone. He wanted everyone to be his children. He wanted to save everyone, and he wanted to bring them to heaven. Wow. He want all of them to heaven. Yeah, he didn't discriminate. Jesus didn't say, oh, this guy is rich, this guy is poor, this guy is from that country, this guy is from that area. All humanity was same to Jesus, and Jesus loved them same. It was a different tone of a relationship between God and between humans to what I believed. What I believed was that the relationship between God and humans are fear, are an animosity. There is a lot of tension between God and human. And then in Jesus' life, he was loving everyone, and he wanted everyone to talk, to pray to him and talk to him. And what else? Have you ever seen a God that so loved the world that he killed himself for their sins? He wanted to take away. He died, probably. That is the correct term. I'm sorry about that. So he died for their sins in the cross, just, you know, giving up their his life for them because he loves them. This changed my perspective. I wanted love, and I wanted that relationship. I didn't want hate. I didn't want violence. So this is where my transition began. This is where I see life differently. This is where I saw that my needs are no longer important. And I wanted what I experienced, I wanted for the youth in my country to experience the same. So it was, for me, is a long journey of discovering my faith, myself, and going on from, you know, what I was before, so needy human that was afraid and was looking at people differently. Now I want to be kind to others. I want to, you know, to love others. I want to have a relationship with God, the relationship that God promised me, which is a relationship of peace. This is how my life transitioned. And then in that same vision, I went on and I want to do same for my people. As you know, Somalia is a country that is, you know, very dark place for now. We are suffering a lot. We have a political turmoil. We have a lot of problems. We have poverty. We have a terrorism. We have a lot of hate. A lot of groups doesn't disagree with each other, and they see each other as an enemy. A lot of people are fighting for power, and that is the work of Satan. Satan does that to a people. So I want my people to come out the life that I experienced myself, what I experienced, the hate I experienced when I was young. I want them to come back out from that life. And I think the only solution, it's definitely the only solution is Jesus. So I want to share with my people, with the Somali, anyone who's hearing now, if it is around the globe, I'm sure this reaches to far places. I want them to let them know that in Jesus there is love. In Jesus there is a relationship with God that is, you know, based on honesty. Relationship that you will have with God, the Almighty. A direct conversation, and Jesus definitely will answer your prayers. All you need is, you do not need to go to a mosque. You do not need to go to a temple. You do not need to go to a priest. You only need to sit where you are and ask Jesus to show you the right way, show you your purpose. So I'm calling them. I'm calling them to a life, better life. I'm calling them to join the kingdom of Jesus, a kingdom that is much better. And I promise them, they will never regret it.
Warfa, I'm curious if you could share with us, what was the final point when you said, I'm going to leave Islam and I'm going to follow Jesus? It sounds like you had the journey leading up to that, where people were loving each other, they were full of peace, full of joy, and they invited you to come to their believers gathering, their church, and you started to notice what they were like, and you started to engage them. But what led you from that then to say, yep, I'm following Jesus and I'm leaving my former ways?
Yeah, so, you know, at the start, that there was a long period, actually, I could say probably 2-3 years that I spent soul searching, because that is the transition that, you know, especially Muslim background, especially Somalis, had to go through, because they were brought up in Islam. That is all they know in their life. So for me, I went through that same period where I had to question what I'm doing and where I want to discover my relationship with Allah. And I spent a lot of days and nights crying, just, you know, crying, God, to show me the right way. God, to show me the right way, whatever that is, whether it is in Islam, whether it is in Christianity, whether it is in any other way, God, that you can bring light to my heart, show it to me. So one day I was sitting in a mosque, and then just, you know, finished my prayer and just was asking God, God, why haven't you shown me yet what is the correct way? And God told me, at the same time, I have to go. I have to leave a mosque, and I should never visit a mosque again. This is not the place where I could find the truth. So I suddenly went up and I just left, and that was my last time in a mosque. And I left, and then I went to the house, and just God asked me to open my laptop, and I opened my laptop and I searched, and I found Somali Christians And I found some website that is Somali Christians, and I made a call to a brother in the faith, and I asked him questions about Christianity, and he explained to me in a much, God was using him to show me the way, you know, because I asked God for a long years, show me the way. And, you know, I already knew that in Jesus there is a better relationship, but I needed Jesus to reveal himself to me. And then I asked this brother, and this brother told me that if I want to find the truth, I should pray this prayer. He says, God, if you love me and if you want me to, you know, to change myself and my old ways, I instantly cried, and there was a lot of emotions, heavy emotions, with the brother in call, asking him that, God, I want to be one of your children. I want to believe that Jesus is a God and Jesus died for my sin. I want to be saved. And God told me that, okay, then who's against you to believe that? You can believe my son and believe in me and trust in me. That is the vision I had, and it was instant. And then I told the brother, I said, you know what? I believe that Jesus is the Lord, and he died for my sin.
When you say that you had an instant vision, what does that mean? Like, was it like words in your mind, or did you have like a picture in your mind? What is that?
In my mind, you know, I had like, you know, sometimes when you are talking to a person and God speaks to you to say what to say, and it happened to me, I'm not sure about other people, God tells me exactly what to say and what he wants me to do. And in that conversation, you know, it's just in my mind, just a conversation with my mind, you know, I was like, and I'm sure 100% that this was God speaking to me. Who is against me? Who is in front of me? What's keeping me from believing in him? Mm-hmm. And I just say, no one. Actually, I just realized in that moment that I actually believe that Jesus is the Lord. And they said, no one can stop me. Mm-hmm. So this is what I told the brother. I said, I believe Jesus is the Lord. And he said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And this is the moment that was turned around for my life.
Wow. Yeah, and since then, that I makes never a lot back. Of sense that it was God speaking to you, because formerly you would never say that Jesus was the Lord. That was the opposite way for you. So it has to be God speaking to you. That's not your own idea. It's not something that you would want to come up with yourself, your own thought. And even for you to hear the truth that who could possibly be against you in this is like in the book of Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? And I've noticed when God speaks to people, he often will speak words that are in Scripture or the ways that is in the Bible. He'll speak to people. We have another Forge ambassador named Mariamu in another location, and it's similar for her. As soon as she decided to follow Jesus, God began to speak to her, do not be afraid, I will be with you. Mm-hmm. Again, that is something all throughout the Bible. And so it just fascinates me that God was speaking to you the same truth we find in the book of Romans. If God is for us, who could be against us? And the answer is nobody. They may try, but our God is more mighty than them. And so that's a really powerful truth. Did you know that scripture before that point, Warfa?
No, I haven't. I had no idea before at that moment. I was, you know, I was thinking about myself because I was worried about the persecution I will face. You know, I wanted to, you know, to be assured that I have some kind of a safety. What do you call? I'm sure 100% that people will come after me when I became a Christian, when I become a believer, that my family, my own family, will abandon me. They will fight me. They will. This was the worry, one of the main worry for me, because in Somali culture we are a very close knit family members. You know, family is everything to you. The family is the clan. If you want to go to work, you have to depend on your family. If you want to get a life, you want to get a wife, you will have to, you know, have depend on your family. So everything is about family. I was much worried that I will leave my family, that the only thing I know, and go into a new territory for me. It was kind of scary. But God told me at that point, I had no idea. I didn't read even the Bible at that point. I just had a few scriptures from the John, you know, like John's 3:16. I've read a few scriptures, and then I read about John the Baptist, about Jesus at the first chapters of John. But beyond that, I had no idea about the scripture. I didn't read much into it. But God told me at that point, you have to, don't worry about your family. Don't worry about Somalia. Don't worry about your scholars or whoever that knows about your faith. I am with you, and nobody can go against you if you believe in me.
Wow. That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. One of the things that I'm curious about is what ended up being the cost for you? You had mentioned that you had a fear before you decided to follow Jesus that you might lose your family, you might lose your culture. What ended up actually happening as you decided to follow Jesus?
And when you answered that, were you still in Asia or were you back in Somalia? What happened in that journey?
Well, actually, it ended up costing me everything, but God gave me a new family. He gave me the family of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ who are more stronger, whom I have more stronger bond with than my blood family, actually, and whom standed with me in the most difficult period in my life. I ended up my family coming to know my faith because they wondered, you know, why I am not coming to back to Somalia, why I'm not praying, why I'm not talking about anything about Islam anymore. And my family is very religious and they know when things, you know, look different. So they came visiting me in Asia and they investigated me multiple times and they realized that I'm no longer a Muslim. And when they asked me, just the Holy Spirit immediately told me that who's stopping me from telling them about my faith. And I did. One of my uncles, I just shared with him and I wanted him to come to Christ because he was kind of a peace-loving. That is what I says at the time. So this kind of peace-loving person, when I shared with him and I told him about my faith, he went on and told the rest of my family.
And before you continue, John, just for those listening, by peace-loving person, you mean someone who is open to seeking more than what they're currently believing. Is that correct?
Yes. He was very open. He looked like he had a lot of Christian friends because he lived in a Western country. He was related to me. And I felt like he is more open and he's more experienced in cultures and he has seen a lot. And he has integrated with a lot of people of different faiths. That I would be able to share with him and he would be okay with it and he wouldn't mind about my faith. But I was wrong, especially when I'm young and, you know, I didn't know a lot of things that was going on around me. I didn't deal with a lot of people beyond that point. I didn't have experience in general. So I told him about my faith and he ended up becoming a Judas for me. He kind of like, told all the family members about my faith. And then I was forced to go back to my home country because of my father's passing away and my father died and then I was the eldest child. So I went back and that is the tradition. I had to lay my father to the grave, you know, experience his burial and all that. And when I went back, this is the point when a confrontation started to happen. You know, so my passport was taken away. I was imprisoned in one of the rooms in the hotel. I was in the house. I was beaten, you know, threatened. I was told that I will never go back to where I came from until I renounce my faith, until I go back to the faith, to Islam. So what happened is that because I was young, again, they manipulated me into the point that they asked me that they will cleanse me away from dirtiness that I was involved. So they washed me with some kind of forcefully, again, against my will. They've taken me and to a mosque and they washed me. And then they told me that, okay, now I am back to Islam and I have to pray. And I just told them, okay, if you believe so, this is the question I asked them. If you believe that I am Muslim again, can you give me my passport and trust me to go to where I came from? And they said, sure, because somehow they needed me. They needed my support because I was working and only the eldest member of the family to my mothers and brothers and sisters. So my passport was given back. And I think, again, Jesus telling us that if I am with you, who is against you? Mm. Again, he is being with me. He's revealing himself in a mighty ways. You know, he's telling me that I will open doors for you. I will remove obstacles in front of you, Warfa. I will be with you all along. Don't worry about anything and don't worry about any obstacles. Do not fear, my child. And then I got, I was able to go back to where I came from. And then over the years, they realized, my family, that I'm not going back to the faith where I left behind because I have a new life. For me, my new life is much more important because it's about my salvation. It's about my peace and my freedom that I had in Christ. I will never look back to what I believed before, what I left behind. So this, they realized this, and they decided, okay, this is the final nail in the coffin. They cut my contact, and they threatened me. They had been behind me all away, all along, you know, using just different treacherous ways to get me. But God has been protecting me. In last year, in
when you say that, when you say they threatened you, what did they threaten to do?
Oh, I remember one time that I was speaking to my brother, and they called the workplace I was doing, and just informed them that, you know, they are aware where I am. And then my manager later told me that actually some members of your family called, and they wanted to see how are you doing. But that was a message, you know. When I spoke to my brother, he told me that he knows where I am, and the country I am is easy to get me, and will come, you know, kill me, because I disgraced them. I disgraced their faith and their culture and everything, and I broke their trust and I broke their faith. And in Islam, the ruling of they call it an apostate, someone who leaves the faith in Islam, there is no way back for him. They have to spill his blood, and this is the ruling they had on me. And two of my brothers, one mostly is a scholar in Islam, and this is the guy who just made the ruling. He says that according to Islam, Warfa is no longer a family member. He is an enemy, and we have to spill his blood. And they put this news on the town that I was from. Mm. That is why there was no way back for me. And at certain point, when I went back to my country, they came to know about my location, that I'm back in the country. And they used to send threats again through different social media messages, mostly telling me that they will come for me, and they know where I am, and they will never forget my betrayal. So this has been, beside losing contact of my family, the most close member, especially my mom, I lost that anything that I had in this world. But for me, actually, it was not a bad thing, because I gained a new family. It was all a good thing for me, and I gained my salvation. And for me, I planted a seed. This is the most important. Another more important for me is that they know that I chose something that is, you know, that causes a happiness for me, and I will never get back down from that faith. And I'm hoping one day God will reveal himself to them. Yeah. He will just make them realize that why our brother Warfa left his faith and joined a new faith. Why? What is different? And I want them to see that this life is better, and I want them to join me. This is the only prayer I have. So anyone hearing me, pray for my country, and most importantly, pray for my family, that God will put the truth in their heart, and Jesus will reveal himself to them, that they will come to know and join me in this, in the salvation I have.
Amen.
Hey, I wanted to ask Warfa, for those who may face rejection or insults or persecution, how can they stand firm with courage and joy? I mean, you have faced beating, being locked up, people saying they're going to kill you, losing your family. I mean, you've lost a lot. You lost everything for the sake of the gospel. Of course, you said you gained everything. But what about those listening, if they're facing some sort of insult, rejection, or persecution for Christ, for sharing the gospel, for standing for Jesus? What would you say to them? How can they stand firm? What encouraged you in the midst of that?
What encouraged me mostly is because, remember that the Jesus himself, our God, the faith we have, he went through worse than what we could ever go on. He went through insults, torture, whatever that is. But he didn't give up, because he loved us. He wanted to die for us and for our sins willingly. You know, he had the option to wipe them out. Whoever is facing, he just, in one word, he was able to, you know, to raise them from the face of the earth. But he chose willingly. He gave up himself for us in the cross to die for our sins. And he went all this through. But us, you know, believing in him, in the life we have in Jesus, the heaven we have in Jesus, the freedom we have in Jesus, it's worth it. You will be gaining much more than what you are expecting, because what you are going through, because the other side of believing in Jesus is greater than going back and going back to what you had. The most important comfort you can get, knowing just Jesus died for our sin, for your sins, and he went through worse than this, and his disciples also, to reach the faith in wherever around the corner they went through persecution. Knowing this, and also what comforted me the most importantly is the Bible. in my most difficult period, I used to spend days and time in the Bible, just put comfort to my heart. No, just engaging with the Word of God. Word of God is our food, food for our soul. It will keep your steady, your feet steady, and just, you know, and it will help you a lot in any situation you are getting through. If you have an anxiety, if you have a fear, if you have a worry, if you are in a dangerous place, just return to the Word of God. Read it. God will shield you in His wings, and He will protect you. And the Word of God will be a comfort for you.
Amen. Well, Warfa, thank you so much for joining us this week on the podcast. For those of you who are listening, we are going to continue this conversation with Warfa for another episode or two. So please come back and join us next week if you want to hear more stories from there. And also...
Yeah, and if you're wondering, what is a Forge Ambassador? They are those who are part of the ministry of Forge to raise up more kingdom laborers around the globe, and that happens through itinerant preaching and discipleship training. And so Forge Ambassadors are those who are oftentimes in unreached or dangerous places where there are zero believers or few believers, those who do not yet know of Jesus. And so as our friend Warfa had asked us to pray, we urge you, pray for his family, and not only for them, but for Somalia and for Muslims worldwide, where it is very difficult to follow Jesus, and there are those who are still waiting for the message of the gospel they have yet to hear. So let's continue to pray for that, and maybe God will lead you somehow to get involved in his mission and heart for the unreached.
That's all for this week. Thanks so much for joining this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. Have a great day. God bless.